that is to say, well, if our economic system cannot handle a shift in which every single person who participates in it is able to live at a basic minimum standard, then I think it really, it's a huge indictment of our capitalist system. And so I think anytime someone throws any argument at you against it, you really need to just challenge their understanding of how our economy works and the value of our system in general.
I think the biggest thing that kind of like inhibits people from supporting it is there's a handful of people out there that went to school for 10 months, you know, to be like a pharmacy tech or a medical transcriptionist. And I think those jobs pay around $20 an hour, right? And I think those people probably
went to the small town pharmacy. So
yeah. And so I think these people are looking at that, going, you know what? Well, I went to school for a year, and if the minimum wage comes up to $15 an hour, I'm not going to get a raise, but it's going to raise costs around me. You know what I'm going to do? I think fear, and I think you know it's the corporate masters that are great at facilitating this to happen, but
It's divide and conquer.
It is. I think that's what's happening.
Absolutely. Yeah. You have people scared about the fact that they are only making just above 15, and what will that do to them? And I think really it forces you to tell them to look upwards, really.
Well, and I would be remiss too. One of the arguments I hear all the time is working class people are saying how they won't be able to afford stuff because stuff,
right?
You know, well, the price of products will go up. But again, that goes back to why is a small business having to compete with large corporations?
It's because the large corporations have a monopoly. You know, Weyerhaeser owns all the lumber; they get to set the price.
Products from afar off exploited labor, and so again, small business. Stop demonizing the workers. We appreciate you. We should all be on the same side, and then maybe we could win some stuff. But that's the problem. So.
Well, Heidi, that's about all the time that we got. I want to thank you very much for coming on the show. I got a couple of announcements to make for people that are out there listening. Local 48 of the IBEW is going to be accepting applications for their apprenticeship program next month in January. Please visit www.nietc.org for more information on that. The Labor Notes School is going to be having their massive conference in Chicago, April 1st through 3rd. This is a very powerful, very moving experience. If you're a labor-minded individual, a part of a labor organization, an activist, or part of the larger labor movement, check it out. It will be worth your time. If you register by February, you get a big discount. And then finally, the Plumbers and Pipefitters Union Local 290 is having a big rally against the Trans-Pacific Partnership. You know that I'm against this. You've heard it on the show many times. This is going to be January 16th at their Union Hall in Tualatin. I actually don't have the start time in front of me, but go to their website, ua290.org. Any final thoughts?
I think we've said it all.
I think so. Thanks, everyone, for listening. This has been Labor Radio. I hope you have happy holidays and a wonderful new year.
To you, the 9-to-5er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Every Monday night at 8 o'clock, you can hear this voice alerting you that
you are about to cross the border.
And then follow the footsteps to a two-hour-long sustained environment of uninterrupted sonic art or new electronic, experimental, or postmodern music. Audio that breaks and rewrites the rules to create entirely new worlds of sound. Where will you be on Mondays at 8 when the door slams shut? Here on KBOO Portland.
Tune in to Talking Earth, a show dedicated to showcasing our local poetry scene. Join hosts Patrick Picard, Barbara Lamorticella, and Walt Curtis for Talking Earth on the second and third Mondays of each month from 10 to 11 p.m. More information can be found on kboo.fm under schedule.
Understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad,
they won't do no schools anymore. They won't do no hospitals. They won't build no
Good evening, greetings, and welcome to Prison Pipeline. I'm your host, Adam Carpinelli. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. This evening, we are here with Chauncey Pelletier. How's it going, Chauncey?
Good.
Right
good.
On, man. Chauncey is the son of Leonard Pelletier, who's an indigenous political prisoner. A lot of our listeners are very familiar with Leonard's case, a lot of background on that. We've done several programs over the last couple years talking explicitly about the details on Leonard's case or what have you. And Chauncey, I understand that you just visited your father, and can you talk a little bit about where he is, how the visit went, how he's doing?
Yeah, Leonard Pelletier is 71 years old. He lives in a federal prison, Coleman, in Coleman, Florida, in a max prison, which is pretty much a gang prison. It's one of the maxes. And they're constantly going in lockdown in there because of gang fights or whatever happens in there. And when they do that, they lock everybody down. Mm-hmm. And then they'll feed everybody through the door. Mm-hmm. Well, when they do that, then Leonard can't eat right for his diabetes because, you know, he's got diabetes. He's got to pick and choose what he eats in there. Mm-hmm. And when they're feeding him through the door, he can't do that. And when he comes out of the lockdown all the time, his blood pressure and his sugar level so high that it's not good for diabetics.
So, I mean, can you get special food, or I mean, how does that work?
Well, when they're in lockdown like that, they'll just lock everybody down. Mm-hmm. They throw the food on the tray and feed them through the doors, and you know, that's a lot of work trying to feed into each individual person like that for diabetes.
Mm-hmm. So in that case, like Leonard just eats kind of whatever he can get, or just drinks water or something.
Yeah, whatever he can get through that door. Mm-hmm. You know, and that stuff ain't all designed for people with diabetes.
You know, it's interesting, Chauncey, because I know you're familiar with Kent Ford, you know, here in Portland, who's the founder of the Portland Black Panther Party, and his son is also a political prisoner, Patrice Lumumba Ford. And Patrice was in Coleman for some years, actually. I don't know if you knew that or not. And, you know, even one time, Kent flew all the way out there to visit him, and Coleman was on lockdown. It was like a weekend, and he couldn't visit, and he literally had to come back to Portland without even visiting his son, and he went all the way to Coleman.
Yeah, I've met Kent. He's a really nice guy. And yes, see, that's the problem when your family's so far away like that. You mm-hmm. go to like I live in Oregon, mm-hmm. and I fly mm-hmm. to Florida. 3 weeks ago, my cousin drove down there from South Dakota, and the day before she got there, they went in lockdown. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, she drove all that way and didn't get to see him, so she had to go back because she had to work.
Right. Well, Chauncey, I know you've been traveling quite a bit. I mean, aside from just visiting your dad, but you've been doing a lot of amazing outreach the last, couple of years. But in the last couple of months, I know you've been to California and Florida. And can you talk about where you've gone and what you've been working on?
Yeah, let's see. This last summer, I was at IFAM in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Pretty nice event. Mm-hmm. I think I could hit a newspaper article, a magazine. After that, I was in Banners in San Rafael, California. Mm-hmm. And that was a pretty nice little event. We were working on a mural up in Olympia, Washington.
Great.
Did a radio talk show up there, and this mural artist got a hold of me. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to do a mural for Leonard.
Wow.
So I went up and talked to him, and he said, well, when I got up there, he said, well, the people I told you about yesterday on the phone, they kind of backed out because of political issues. Mm. And I was like, wow, really? So I drove all the way up here, and he goes, well, I got another spot. And it turned out being a really good spot. It's right there by the Artesian Well up there in Olympia.
Oh, yeah, downtown.
Right downtown.
Great.
And everybody goes there to get their water.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a reproduction of Leonard's art. It's mm-hmm. called A Stalker. It's mm-hmm. got a lot of pink in it and a lot of purple. It's very colorful. It's on a black building. The whole building's black. And so it really stands out, and it's a really nice mural. Mm-hmm. And there's a little plaque there, Leonard Pelletier's art, who is leonardpeltier.info and peltierart.com mm-hmm. on there.
That's great. I mean, probably, I've talked to a few people, and very often it's come up. People were very surprised to know that, you know, Leonard does all this artwork, and that even a lot of the artwork itself isn't, you know, totally political artwork per se. It's even just all kinds of different stuff. Can you talk about the artwork and, you know, how many pieces there are and what's out there?
Yeah, there's probably over a couple hundred pieces out there. Leonard likes to do a lot of Native American art.
Mm-hmm.
He's a lot of his heritage, a lot of the stuff he remembers out of his mind. And a lot of times we'll send him pictures in there
mm-hmm.
on whatever art project he's working on at the time. He'll ask us to, like if he's painting a little Indian girl dancing, he'll ask one of us to, when we're at a powwow, to take a lot of pictures and send it to him.
Mm-hmm.
So he gives him new images, new versions in his head, you know, so he can keep doing this. A lot of it is out of his head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got a good memory and, very talented artist. My father does some really nice work.
Yeah. Has he been doing that his whole life, or was that something that came later on, or?
Well, he's been an artist, pretty much all his life, but he really got into it when, the late 80s, mm-hmm. when he was inside, he was pretty much self-taught and all that. And, he's been doing it ever since.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of famous people owns his art. The list goes on. I mean, Jane Fonda owned one of his art mm-hmm. pieces. A lot of famous people owned. Pamela Anderson. We just sent one to Evo Morales.
Really?
The president of Bolivia.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
My father did one for him. And we had Lenny Foster bring it down there and present it to him. There was one Billy Nelson, the Olympic runner.
Mm-hmm.
It goes on. Yeah,
right.
You know.
Yeah. So how can people check out the art if they haven't seen any of Leonard's art before?
Go to peltierart.com
mm-hmm.
and there's a website there, and I got I think I got about 5 pieces on there. We got reproduction canvases. I have a nice Glee clay paper. I have some photos. Getting ready to put some postcards on there and getting ready to do a calendar
mm-hmm.
and you can order right there off the website.
Yeah. Great. And that's can you give the link again, please?
It's peltierart.com.
Peltierart.com.
Yeah.
Okay. So people can go on there and check stuff out, and you've been showing it, at, you know, every possible event, you know, that's related to, you know, Leonard or, I mean, indigenous culture.
Yes.
You know, prison issues.
Yeah, we've been displaying it quite a bit all over. Let's see, was it in the month of November?
Uh-huh.
Up in Tumwater, Washington, we displayed 4 pieces up there.
Oh, cool.
And it was in the Labor of Industries building. And they asked it to be removed. I'm going to say it was the retired FBI Association.
Oh, okay.
I think it went as far as the governor.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted Leonard's art removed. Well, we didn't have nothing there political.
Right, right.
We had Leonard Peltier just as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
I had his art displaying as an artist at Native American Heritage Month. Well, there was nothing political about Leonard's case or anything there showing, displaying with the art.
Right, right.
The art wasn't for sale. I do have art for sale, but the art wasn't there for sale. And then they asked it to be removed. Well, when they called up the governor, the retired FBI Association had it removed,
mm-hmm.
and they removed this. They violated Leonard's rights again.
Mm-hmm.
This was just here in November. Well, anybody could display their art as an artist.
Right, right.
Leonard has that right to display his art as an artist. So they really had no art call to... have Leonard's art removed. The news team up there and everybody else lied and falsified all their advertisements they did about the art up there on Leonard. Mm-hmm. There was 55 members of Congress and some Supreme Court judges that said this case needed to be relooked at, and there was never no evidence that Leonard shot these FBI agents.
Mm-hmm.
So for these people to go through and saying Leonard was a killer when you got the Supreme Court judges and stuff saying this, well, they basically violated his rights again, because there's never been no evidence of Leonard shooting anybody.
Right.
So, I mean, they basically violated his rights again. Mm-hmm. And here it is, 2015, and they're still violating his rights. How long are they going to violate this man's rights? You know, they've been doing it since 76.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's time to stand up and abide by the justice system that we live by every day. As we abide by it, it's time for them to sort of abide by it and do the right thing and free Leonard Peltier.
Right on.
Because they haven't been giving Leonard a fair shake on his rights. You can look it up. It's on whoisleonardpeltier.info. Mm-hmm. The trial, anything you need to know about it is on that website. The case files, anything, the court files, it's all on there. Any support groups are going on, petitions, mm-hmm. events coming up, it's all there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, out of all the millions of supporters that Leonard's had, all the attorneys I've ever talked to, this is one of the biggest rights violation cases in U.S. history. And I had an attorney correct me the other day. He said, no, mm-hmm. Chauncey, it's not the biggest one in the U.S. Not one of the longest held political prisoners in the U.S. He said, Chauncey, he's one of the longest held political prisoners in the world.
Really?
Yes.
Leonard is.
Yes. This is what long an attorney told me not too long ago here.
Wow.
Just last month.
Well, in regards to what happened up in Washington, is there, as far as, you know, international Leonard Peltier Defense Committee and you know, Leonard himself, I mean, is there any kind of response to this right now that's ongoing about what happened in Washington? Or
well, yeah, I have an attorney on it.
You do?
You know, yeah. I mean, we got to do something. You know, it's 40 years and they're still violating this man's rights.
Right.
I mean, this is the justice system that we all live under. We all abide by, and we all love living in America. I sure do.
Yeah.
But if we got to abide by it, I sure appreciate it if they'd start abiding by it.
Well, that would only make sense. And what I hear you saying is that it was essentially a native art exhibit.
Yes.
That was happening. And it was closed down essentially because of the political incarceration of the artist himself, Leonard's
yes.
art. Okay.
Yes.
Wow. That's incredible. So, well, but it sounds like aside from that happening, I mean, we're still pushing forward, with doing events and other art exhibits and stuff. And
yeah, I'm always working on any art exhibits, mm-hmm. Any murals, anything we could do for Leonard. You know, mm-hmm. This is his last shot for freedom.
Right.
You know,
right.
Obama's set a lot of people free. Mm-hmm. You know, and him and his wife were both attorneys,
mm-hmm.
and they're attorneys. I mean, if they look at this case, they study the case. I mean, we got Supreme Court judges saying this.
Right.
We have 55 members of Democratic and Republican saying this.
Yeah.
I mean, we got a lot of people back in Leonard here. Man. I mean, the right thing is to set him free. You know?
Yeah, it is. Right.
They never, ever had anything on Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just made Leonard a poster boy. This guy's going to pay for it. You know,
sure.
It's a known fact. If he would have been in court with Bobby and Dino Butler, he would have been a free man.
Right. And they got off on self-defense in the first place.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
You know, yeah, a lot of people don't know that about the case, you know, mm-hmm. and then he got extradited from Canada because the U.S. government essentially tricked Canadian government to bring him back. And then, they've been trying to make an example of him ever since.
Yes. They actually perjured themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They said this was a shell case and this gun and it was never a match.
Right.
The FBI perjured themselves.
Right. Right.
They tampered with the witnesses. It mm-hmm. just goes on and on. It's right there all over who is LeonardPeltier.info. It's all on there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Sure. And if people again want to get involved, whether it's the Portland area or nationally, to do an art display, do a mural project, then they can also contact you via the other website.
Yeah.
And
you go to whoisleonardpeltier.info and peltierart.com.
Mm-hmm.
Any art exhibits, anything you're interested in art, you get a hold of that, and that you actually get a hold of me. I'm the director of the art. My co-director, Carrie Ann, my cousin, she's out of Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I'm also a co-director of International Leonard Peltier Defense Committee.
That's great. So if any folks are just tuning in, you're listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. And we're here with Chauncey Peltier, son of Indigenous political prisoner Leonard Peltier. And as you mentioned, director of the International Leonard Peltier Defense Committee. And there's other projects that are going on. I know this isn't maybe the main project you've been working on, but I understand every year there is a Leonard Peltier holiday gift drive that's basically on behalf of Leonard, and that's where children's winter clothing, toys, and school supplies can be sent or donated, rather, to Pine Ridge Reservation and Turtle Mountain Reservation. And so it sounds like there's a lot of things that Leonard does, you know, while he's been locked up for so many years. You know, yes. Art, he's doing the toy drive and all this other stuff.
Leonard's been doing this toy drive for years. Leonard's been a nominated for Nobel Peace Awards since he's been in there.
Wow.
He's wrote books. He's had a lot of famous people support him over the 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Very famous people, very high profile people, presidents of countries supporting him.
Right.
There was, what, over 5 million signatures to free Leonard back when Reagan was president from Russia.
Really? From Russia?
So, I mean, there's a lot of countries that have been supporting Leonard for the 40 years of him fighting for freedom, you know?
Wow. So if folks want to know more about donating to this winter clothing drive, you can find out about that at www.IndigenousRightsCenter.org. That's www.IndigenousRightsCenter.org. That's www.IndigenousRightsCenter.org to find out how you can help with this holiday gift drive for disenfranchised kids, and that is on behalf of Leonard. Anything more to say about that particular this project?
This project, the gift drive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, if you have ever been back to the Dakotas, Pine Ridge, I grew up here in Oregon all my life, and those people are struggling back there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those that's people just don't believe it when they see how those people are living back there. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to help them. They're Americans. They're the true native natives to this country right here, and they're living more worse than a lot of these homeless people.
Mm-hmm.
I never believed it until I went back there and seen it. Mm-hmm. It's crazy, you know. There should be a way they can put jobs in there for those people.
Yeah,
you know, why do those people have to starve like that and struggle so hard?
Yeah,
is it because they're after those Black Hills again? Maybe they want to starve them out of there, and then they go in there and take the Black Hills.
Right.
You know, a lot of people don't realize that when this all happened, a lot of people don't. The Native American people look at Leonard like a protector of the earth.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When this all happened back there on Pine Ridge, he basically prolonged the takeover of the Black Hills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's basically all. 100 years before that, what was General Custer and his cavalry doing running around in the Black Hills looking for? They were looking for gold and minerals and that. Back in 76 when they were doing this, that's what it was all about. That's what the Goon Squad was doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this was all over. They were after the mineral rights again. So, I mean, we know that's valuable land. We know that's good land.
Right.
Why can't there be jobs? Why can't there be something for those people to do? Why do they have to starve? Why do they have to live like that?
Right.
That ain't right.
Yeah.
If they starve and there's somewhere I think somebody told me if there's like less than 45% Native American on that, they could go in there and take that reservation for them.
Really?
Is that why they're trying to starve these people out? I don't know. Why can't there be no jobs for those people? Mm-hmm. Putting jobs all over this United States.
Right. Yeah. And it's like,
why can't we help these people? Why can't these people need some help?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've been on this reservation most of their lives. That's their homes. There's nothing there for them to do. There's no work. They're struggling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody wants to leave their homes.
Yeah.
Leonard's been trying to help these people for a long time.
Right. Yeah. And it's like this whole 500-year legacy of colonialism that's just kind of continuing, right? And all these, you know, broken treaties or what have you. And so kind of getting into the legal perspective, again, you know, there's definitely been some devoted attorneys. on the case. Can you maybe kind of talk a little bit about that?
You know, you mentioned broken treaties. I had one of my friends, he's a white guy, I'll say. He wasn't a Native American. But he said, Chauncey, he said, you'd be surprised how many treaties they're breaking to this day. Mm-hmm. And I went, huh? I went home, I Googled it. Mm-hmm. My jaw hit the floor. This is 2015, they're still breaking treaties.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, you know, it's still going on to this day.
Yeah. And there's still, like, pending legal cases from the last couple of hundred years that still go unresolved, like the Onondaga land rights in upstate New York. And, yeah, the list goes on. Can you talk a little bit about the legal work around Leonard's case kind of currently, and you know, who's been working on it and stuff?
We have Leonard's got some very high profiled attorneys working on his case.
Yeah.
They've been working on clemency. Mm-hmm. We're filing for clemency. We're getting ready to file for clemency pretty soon. We're working on getting Leonard transferred, trying to get Leonard some good health care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when last time I was in there and visited Leonard last month, when he come walking out of the into the visiting room there, he was limping.
Uh-huh. Wow.
He sat down there and he was breathing hard.
Uh-huh.
He didn't sound very good. He said he didn't feel very good. He sure didn't look very good.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I was pretty concerned about my father.
Yeah.
Out of you know, he's getting old. His health ain't very good. And you know, he needs to go home. He just
absolutely.
You know, and then the following Monday when I went in to visit him, he sounded a little better. He said he didn't feel any better, you know. And I ain't really ever been that much concerned about my father's I guess lately I have been.
Right, you know? Right, yeah.
His health issues and stuff, you know, I'm really getting concerned about him.
Right,
and,
right.
That's why I'm here, and I'm trying to help him, you know, get freedom.
For sure. You know? Yeah, I mean, your parents get older, and then it's like you start thinking about it. My dad's 71, too, and he actually lives in Florida. So it's, you know, it's the same thing. You know, it's like, you know, what are the next days going to look like and stuff. As far as him getting transferred, what would be the plan? Where do you think he could be transferred to? You know, I mean, obviously this would be before getting clemency, but if he got moved somewhere, where do you think that would be?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
You know, that would probably be up to the prison system.
Right, right.
But it'd be nice if they'd move him closer to his family.
Yeah.
it'd be nice if they'd just release him, you know. Leonard's did more time for basically what they said he did than a lot of bad people that have did that stuff.
Right.
You know?
Right, and, absolutely.
You know, I don't know what it, you know, a lot of it is, Leonard's told me, he says, Chauncey, he goes, I just want to go home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Leonard ain't going to do nothing more political. He's 71 years old. He told me he just wanted to go home and paint. He wanted to work on some old cars and he just wanted to go home.
Right. Well, you know, the thing with Obama is like he recently, you know, had visited a prison and, you know, so people are starting to talk about him, you know, possibly on his way out, you know, making some gesture in that direction. Are you feeling like maybe Obama's gonna help out with Leonard, or what are you thinking about it?
Well, I sure hope so, because, you know, I feel that this is my father's last chance for freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I go visit him, you know, he tells me, look around in here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these guys are all 20, 30 years old. I'm 71 years old, Chauncey. I can't defend myself in here no more.
Totally.
You know, any day could be my last day. You know?
Yeah.
He's not in a medium. He's not in a low. He's in a max.
Yeah.
And a max. So, I mean, those are a lot of dangerous people in there.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And, yeah, my father's 71 years old. His health ain't very good. Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know? It's a stressful place.
Yeah. Stressful places if you're 20 or 30, let alone 71.
Right. Yeah. And then you're trying to like make art and do all this great like organizing, you know, on the outside, you know, with the clothing drives and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's amazing what he's able to pull off, you know, considering the situation. Yeah. And so I think, you know, for a lot of us, we really, you know, always give our hats off to Leonard and to you too, Chauncey. I know you've been, you know, you've been pushing it, you know, yeah, as hard as you can, you know, on the case.
Yeah. I just been trying to help my father. You know, he told me to go off in Oregon, live my own life. And I did. And, mm-hmm. A lot of stuff, being the Peltier and stuff, drug me back into it. And, yeah. It's the right thing for the principle,
yeah,
of the justice system. Mm-hmm. Is to free Leonard Peltier.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
If you read anything or look at the case or write anything about it, it's the right justice. It's justice,
yep,
to let him go.
Yeah. And if anybody's concerned any at all about human rights or civil
there
rights or constitutional rights, I mean, it's all there with Leonard's case, right? Just look, yes, into it. And yeah, and on that note, too, where can people find the resources again about Leonard and the art?
Who is LeonardPeltier.info,
mm-hmm,
and PeltierArt.com.
Great, great. And then just another mention, you know, we talked a little bit about some of the attorneys on the case, and one of those people who's been long-term attorney on Leonard's case is Bruce Ellison. And for folks in the Portland area, or Eugene, but in Portland, Bruce Ellison will be speaking at Portland State University at the Native American Community Center on Wednesday, January 27th. That's Wednesday, January 27th at Portland State's Native American Community Center. That's 6 to 8 p.m. The next day, Thursday, January 28th, anybody who's in the Eugene area or if you want to go down there, over at U of O at the Many Nations Longhouse, Bruce will also be speaking from 4 to 5:30 p.m. We'll have this up on the Prison Pipeline Facebook page so people can also check that out, and we'll also throw up the link for the holiday gift.